it'll make it all right. Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken.
Whatever is broken.
He can fix it.
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No need to worry.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Whole church, he'll make it all right. Whatever you pray,
whatever you pray,
he knows,
he knows.
Whatever the answer,
whatever the answer,
he's got me,
he's got me.
We know he's sovereign,
we know he's sovereign.
He's in control,
he's in control.
Whole church, he'll make it all right.
Coming through,
for me.
I don't know when,
I don't know
when. Tell the shall find. Well, he told me if I knock, that the door shall be open. I don't know what you gonna do, but I'm gonna do what he said. Cause there's a blessing coming through the Lord
for me.
Blessing coming through the Lord
for me.
There's a blessing coming through the Lord. The things hope for, and it's the evidence of things that we can't see. Well, prayer is the key, faith unlocks the door. Well, he blessed me once before, but now he'll bless me some more. Cause there's a blessing coming through the Lord. Blessing coming through the Lord. A real blessing coming through the Lord. It's the evidence of things that we can't see. Well, prayer is the key, faith unlocks the door. He blessed me once before, but he's gonna bless me some more. Cause there's a blessing coming through the Lord. Blessing coming through the Lord. A real blessing coming through the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we thank you this morning. Period. Period. Just period. You know, yesterday, God, I want to thank you so much. Yesterday, I was talking about the closer you draw to the Lord, the closer you come to the fulfillment of the dreams and the desires that God has already predetermined, predestined for you. And I mentioned 2 Corinthians 3:18, which says, and we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Every time we sit before the Lord in his presence, we are being transformed. Not sometimes, but every time. And the other thing, sometimes it's easy to forget. The Bible says, where sin abounds, there doth grace abound much more. Where sin abounds. That's why you have so much protection, especially if you're a missionary and you go into foreign lands and foreign countries and all kind of different witchcraft and stuff. You got to know. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God, one, got you there, and two, he's going to protect you. while you're there. And three, that you're going to carry out his will. Because that's why you're there in the first place. And I mentioned to you yesterday, I said that you were particularly important in the plans and the purposes of God. I also said yesterday that you were not meant to live a passive life. I said that you were created to live a life that boldly shares and declares the gospel of Jesus Christ. I also said that you have been called to change the world. I said you have been called to change the world around you because that is who God has made you to be. And I said it was all predicated upon your prayer life. And I should have added, and your answer to the call of God. All right. And then I prayed a prayer that went like this. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that you have designed us to be part of your kingdom, to be part of your presence. Thank you that we do not have to strive or make great efforts, and we do not have to seek after anything that is not for us. We can simply seek your face through prayer and know that we are on the right, going in the right direction, because we are abiding in your glory and power. And I close it out kind of like, I pray today in the name of Jesus that today will be a day of encountering and abiding in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I might have added a little more, but I can't remember exactly. Because, you see, yesterday, I'm working on, even although I've been in a lot of, you know, under a lot of pressure, I'm working on about three serious witchcraft cases. I think it's about three of them. Well, it's probably four, but they all seem to involve the same type of witchcraft. And so when I got off the air yesterday, you know, I talked to a few people on the phone, not many, but these witchcraft cases that I'm working on involve cults, witchcraft cults and covens. And so I was thinking about myself, really. And so I asked God, I said, God, now, when you sin through disobedience and you know you're trying to serve God and do everything that you can do to please you, I said, God, what is, because I know that sin has consequences, and I know that disobedience to God has serious consequences. So I said, God, what happens? What are those consequences? Because I need to know. And I was sitting here at my computer, and I heard, I said, now, I know that disobedience causes the wrath of God to raise up. I said, that's willful disobedience. And the Holy Spirit say, disobedience is sin, no matter what kind it is, willful, voluntary, involuntary, whatever. I said, okay. I said, so what? What are the consequences to that? Can you tell me? I really want to know. And brothers and sisters, I can't help your level of belief or unbelief or whatever. But the people I call, they know. God gave me four words. He said, type this. Type these letters. I typed one. I didn't recognize the word. I typed the second one. I didn't recognize that word. I typed the third one. I said, wait a minute. What language is this? And the Holy Spirit said, look at it. What does it look like? I said, it looks like a foreign language. I said, but from being in school, I said, it looks like Latin. So then the Holy Spirit said, look it up. So again, I'm in shock. I'm sitting here shocked. You see, a lot of times, God trying to take you to another level, a level you don't recognize, a level you don't understand, but it's the solution and the answer to your problem. So I said, now wait a minute. I told one person, I said, that God gave me these words here. Just now, it was still hot. I was just typing them. And I said, I don't know what they mean at the moment. You see, brothers and sisters, this intercessory ministry that I have in this gift of intercession, I have to research a lot. That's why I get the hard stuff. Remember I told you? I said, God, give me the hard stuff. Give me the people like me. Hard. And he does. But if I had known then what I know now, I wouldn't have asked them that. Okay? I'd have just let them do it his way. But I had read that about the, you know, the laws of God and the wrath of God and disobedience and that. But I never really researched it. I never really studied it in depth because you had guys that studied that stuff like Perry Stone and the prophecy group and people like that. And they studied prophecy real in depth, more than me. I have a tendency to just study what God gives me because that's where I'm at and that's where he generally is going to send the people that need assistance from this ministry. So I had these four words and I said, I called Jose because, you know, in real life, Jose is a research scientist. That's what his PhD, I mean, he's a research scientist. And so whenever I want to really, really, really research something in depth, I typed the words out. I gave Brother Joe a copy because Brother Joe was raised in the Catholic Church. Brother Joe wanted to be a priest at one time. And so I gave the words to Brother Joe. But then the Holy Spirit said, you know who speaks Latin? I say, who? He said, Jessica Kids, at that academy they went to, they took Latin. So I'm thinking now, Latin. And I also have a friend who's a Catholic exorcist. So I call him. But I call him last. Because, yeah, I just call him last. I want to know the definition. That's all I wanted. So I said, Jessica, wake up. I said, God gave me these four words. And I believe they Latin. So I also spoke to another minister, and I shared the four words with the minister. And so Jessica said, well, Arlie took Latin longer than anybody and has more of a working knowledge. I said, would you wake Arlie up? This is an emergency. I got to know what these words mean. So we started because the question I had asked God was, when you disobedient, what are the consequences? And I tried to preface it with a way I could understand it. So we got these four words, and brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We work with those words. I work with those words all day. Because the more we dug into those words, the answer to some witchcraft problems began to fall into place. And what it boiled down to was, when you are disobedient to God, you oppose his love. Now, I know it seems so simple, but when we broke the, when everybody that I gave those words to came up with the same answers, and then I looked them up. They came up with the same answers, and the answer was from those four words, when you are disobedient to God, you oppose his love for you. So I'm thinking, all this time, disobedience brings you in a position where you oppose God's love. You, the individual, at that time I was talking about me, because I was the one that did not step on out there and initiate the prayer like I was supposed to. So I was opposing God's love I was set up to oppose God's love. Now, when I say set up, you know I'm talking about Satan, right? You know I'm talking to you spiritually, right? You do understand that, right? I'm not talking in the natural, because none of this is natural. And as I was looking up the words and seeking revelation and understanding, God gave me the name of the witchcraft cult, how it's operating today in America. And you see, I've been putting the puzzles together a long time, including the blue magic, the blue witchcraft. I've been putting all this stuff together. And so the enemies blow to stop me, because you see, this particular witchcraft started through the Catholic Church and Catholic missionaries. Remember, my background is missions. Catholic missionaries use this, and they use it under a falsehood of what? Love. Catholic charities, Catholic missions. And when I broke that thing down, all I could do was just shed tears to God in thanksgiving. I'm not at liberty. I'm not going to speak them over the airways. I'm not going to give them any credence. But it led into this. The Holy Spirit said, Erica, do you understand? And I'm going to help your understanding that disobedience to God's law is very simple. So I'm saying, like, well, how simple is it? He says, simple. God is love. God's word is his law. And when you oppose his word or and oppose his law, you oppose his love. You oppose his love. Not that he's trying to withhold anything from you, or not when he's trying to keep anything for you, but you yourself oppose his law. I said, well, can you give me some scriptures for this here? Since we've been working on it all day. He said, yeah. But not before I opened up the eyes of your understanding so you could understand it. He said, because you have been coming against a worldwide cult. I said, is this worse than the Jesuits? He said, oh yeah, it's worse than the Jesuits. Because I mean, the Jesuits are pretty dangerous. You know, they're the CIA of the Catholic Church. He said, but the thing is, most people are drawn into this type of witchcraft through deception. And in thinking that they're embracing something mysterious, mystic from God. He said, but the key is right here. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Then I went on into Revelation 11:19, and it was like I had a vision. I had about four. God, he made this picturesque for me, meaning he showed me this. In words, I told you it was the three words. Then I had a vision of the ark. You know, and the fact that this is what I saw in the ark. There was nothing in the ark. There was nothing in the ark except the two tables. The two tables of the Ten Commandments. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that Moses put the Ten Commandments in the ark when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And then over in Deuteronomy 10:4, it says, and he wrote on the tables according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spoke in the mountain out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and gave them to Moses. The Holy Spirit was saying the world today doesn't keep God's commandments because the whole world is rebellious. Rebellious even after Christ is present in person on this earth. The nation will not accept him. But the Holy Spirit said something. I need somebody to write this, Jessica. The Holy Spirit said God is going to force the acceptance of Jesus Christ and his government. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit said God is going to force the acceptance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his government. And then God started talking to me about the voice and the vials poured upon the earth, just like that. I don't know. It's just that the Holy Spirit was emphasizing that this rebellion is going to be worldwide, and it is worldwide. and that it's not going to be a half or a section of the earth, but that God was going to force the acceptance of Jesus Christ and his government upon this whole earth because of disobedience to his laws. Revelation 11:18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And he started talking to me again about love, and I started it, and I tried to print it out in time this morning. But you see, the Holy Spirit was pointing out that love with God is more than just unconditional love. And when I didn't do the prayer like I was supposed to, that God doesn't, even when God chastises us, he doesn't separate us. Okay? When we oppose God's love, it's one of these right here. It could be the S, the storge love. It's an empathy bond of love with God. You might not be familiar with it because I wasn't familiar with it till God exposed it yesterday. This is family love. This is the affectionate bond that develops naturally between parents and children and brothers and sisters. It's a love that is supposed to provide mutual protection among the families. And then, example, Noah and his wife, Jacob for his sons, Mary and Martha for Lazarus. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, which commands believers to be devoted to one another with brotherly affection. It reminded me that we are members of God's family, that our lives are knit together by something stronger than physical ties, the bonds of the spirit, okay? That's that storge. That's that Greek word. Praise God. Then there's another love. You see, there's also a compound of that storge love. It means loving dearly, being devoted, being affectionate, loving in a way characteristic of the relationship that's supposed to be between a husband and wife. That's why the family was a vital part of ancient Jewish culture. And in the Ten Commandments, God charges his people to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. So God was showing me that and pointing that how the believers' lives are bound together under that storge. Okay? So then I'm getting all this. Then Holy Spirit said, look up that phila. Phila. That's the friend bond of love. The friend bond of love. It means brotherly love in the Greek, a close friendship. It's a form of love. It describes a form of love of equals who are united in common purpose, common pursuit, common good. It refers to love based on mutual respect, shared devotion, joint interests, and common values. It's the love that near and dear friends have for one another. Remember what God said in the four words he gave me? Opposing love. So it could be opposing any of these areas of love. Are you with me this morning? It encompasses love for fellow humans, for their care, for their respect, and compassion. It's the benevolent, kindly love, close friendship. And then I realized what God was talking about. When you disobey him and you oppose his love. You see that phila and philo originate from the same Greek. It's a love for a dear friend or someone highly prized. It's a love in a personal, intimate way of a trusted confidant. It's a love that causes you to have a close bond of personal affection. We could call it, put this in the chat room, experience-based love, found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. First Thessalonians, that's the ESV translation. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. It goes on to express brotherly love, Hebrews 13:1. And it goes on to express godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Praise God. And then it goes, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. This is that love that Jesus, that they used to describe Jesus when they said that he was a friend of sinners. That's what I'm trying to say. In Matthew 11:19. It's the same love that's applied when the Lord calls his disciples, what do you call them? Friends. He said, I call you friend now. Luke 12:4. John 15:13-15. And when James named Abraham the friend of God, that's the term he was implying there, the phila, the. It's a family word with a concept of brotherly affection that unites believers, and it's unique to Christianity. So, as members of the body of Christ, we're family in a special sense. In a sense of God is our Father, we're all brothers and sisters. We ought to have a warm and devoted love for one another. And that love is supposed to catch the attention and the interest of the non-believer. It's supposed to be that close union of love among believers that's not seen in other people, but seen in us as members of the family of God. And the Holy Spirit was like, that this expression of love ought to be so attractive that it draws others into the family of God. And it's a commandment. It's one of the commandments of Jesus. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Then you got that eros, that romantic love. Okay? And that is supposed to be communicated through all four of the Greek words, eros, storge, phila, and last but not least, agape. The eros love, we all know that, is the physical, sensual intimacy between a husband and a wife. It expresses sexual romantic love. Praise God. So the Holy Spirit was showing me that when God looks at love, he looks at all of this. And when you don't obey him, you really opposing one of these areas of love from him to you, of me. And so I thought about it. And you can take your time. You are, most of you already know about the eros love anyway. But the thing is, included in that eros love is this. Your body is a temple of God's Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So you're supposed to glorify God in your body as well. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. Opposing God's love, that's what disobedience brings you into. Disobedience to God's word, mind you. Disobedience to God. In disobedience to God, you are opposing his agape, his unconditional love. Because you see, there is something called a Zoe life. Zoe life, the life of God lived on earth. But it is lived, it is experienced, all through the love of God. And out of all those areas I showed you, agape is the highest. Agape is the highest form of the love of God. Because, brothers and sisters, agape love is supposed to be a selfless love, a sacrificial, unconditional love, agape. The pronunciation and the variations are many, but it perfectly describes, praise God, the kind of love that Jesus has for his Father and for you and I. Perfect, unconditional love. Jesus lived out agape love by sacrificing himself on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Agape love is more than just an emotion. It's a sentiment that demonstrates itself through action. Agape is the term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is God's ongoing, outgoing, self-sacrificing concern for lost and fallen humanity. And God gives us this love without condition, unreservedly, to those who are undeserving and inferior to himself. It's unmotivated. It's not contingent on any value or worth in the object of love. It's spontaneous, heedless. It doesn't determine beforehand whether love will be effective or appropriate in any particular case. You see, agape love extends itself beyond emotion. It's much, much more than a feeling or a sentiment. It's active. And it demonstrates love through actions. So in trying to see this scripturally, it's easy. I want you to see this. I want you to see this scripturally. God showed this to me scripturally. I will never forget it as long as I live. God so loved the world. It doesn't say the same. It doesn't say, it says the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then I thought about when I first learned about a love feast. You see, a love feast was a common meal in the early church, because the church was expressing Christian brotherhood and fellowship. That's found in Jude chapter 12. Jesus came to reveal to us a new kind of love. Jesus told his followers to love one another in the same sacrificial way he loved them. This command was new then because it demanded a new kind of love, a love like his own, agape love, unconditional love. God knew what the outcome would be of this kind of love. The 11th and the 12th commandment from Jesus. Love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Brothers and sisters, God requires us to love each other, but he doesn't require us to become a doormat or a rug so that somebody can step on us to get to save their feet from the water or whatever. It's unconditional. Love without conditions. I love you, you do this. You don't do this, I hate you. You don't do what I want you to do, I don't like you anymore. Because there other levels of love. God is looking for that storge, that philo, the eros and the agape. I have learned. The minute you don't do what somebody wants you to do, you get on the hate list. The minute you don't look like they want you to look in the way you want to look, the minute you don't turn the way they feel you should turn, but they never go to God and ask God, what did he tell you to do? Are you doing what God told you to do? I'll never forget one time God told me to go from South Carolina all the way to upstate New York. I had people up there. I knew lots of people. God said, go in, do what I tell you to do, turn around, don't talk to anybody, and go home. Man, I got on the hate list. You came all the way up here. You didn't go. God didn't tell me to do that. Whatever it was God wanted me to do. And just like I went and took care of the business. I knew lots of people. When you don't do what people want you to do, they forget about asking God, what has he told you to do? Brothers and sisters, God has a plan and a purpose. So much so that he laid down his life for us. And he tells us to lay down our lives for our brothers. God does not have to tell you what he told somebody else. But understand this. The Bible says that the prophet is subject to the prophet. God is not going to tell you what he tell me to do. If he has to do that, that means that I'm not listening. If he has to tell somebody else, that means you're not listening. Or you don't have it right. If you're with somebody and they know God, ask God. I've had so many people to say, Erica, I asked God if it was okay if I affiliate with you. I said, look here, go ask him again and again and again, because I'm not scared. I'm not scared of what he'll tell you. If he say no, then you need to move to where you're going to be in his perfect will. Don't try to kill the preacher because then you're sinning against God. God gives people a free will. When you go against the free will of another person, you are practicing witchcraft. You don't know what level of God of love God is working out. This is why I don't try to control nobody. I tell you, go to God. Get your answers from God. You know why? Because when something go wrong, you want to be able to go back to God and say, God, I went to you. You told me to do this. Now, God, you got to fix it. But the minute you step out of line and try to play little Jesus, you're in trouble. You know what else Jesus said? They tried to grab Jesus. Remember that? Remember in the Bible? And they wanted to make Jesus a king over them. They wanted to make Jesus a Lord over them. And Jesus said this. He said, I didn't come to judge. I came to seek and to save them that were lost. You see, listen, Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit are so at one that Jesus says, whoever loves him will be loved by the Father and by Jesus too. So any believer who initiates this relationship of love to God by showing obedience to Jesus, by showing obedience to God the Father, and by showing obedience to the Holy Spirit. Jesus, our Father, and the Holy Spirit responds because the oneness through love between Jesus and us is a mirror of the oneness between Jesus, our Heavenly Father, and God's own Holy Spirit that dwells in us. John 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul admonished the Corinthians to remember, just like he's admonishing me to remember the importance of love. Paul used the term agape 6 times in his famous love chapter. That's 1 Corinthians 13:1, 2, 3, 4, 8, and 13. Paul wanted the believers to show love in everything they did. The apostle exalted love as the highest standard. Why? Because God is love. Love for God and love for other people is supposed to motivate everything we do. 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love. Brothers and sisters, Paul, the apostle, taught believers to infuse their interpersonal relationships in the body of Christ with agape love so as not to bind themselves to the works of the devil, but to remain. Well, this is what he said to the Galatians. Galatians 5:13. This is the New Living Translation. For you have been called to live in freedom. You have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So this unconditional love of God is not just an attribute of God. Get this. It is God himself. God is fundamentally love. God alone loves in the completeness and perfection of love. In truthfulness and honesty, a minister is called to give you the message. Anything beyond giving you the message is the love of God being demonstrated through that messenger. But the Bible says anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Jesus raises up in us a compassion, a love so strong, it calls us to action. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have what? Eternal life through him. The Bible said this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Eros, sensual, sexual love. Phila, brotherly love or friendship. Storge, the bond of love between family members. Brothers and sisters, you've been saved from the wrath to come. God is going to, you'll see. You're going to see. You're going to see. Our God is a strong God. But our God is a patient God. Because he doesn't want anybody to be lost. The Bible says that Christ is going to come with wrath to punish the nations because they are violating God's laws. The Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Daniel 7:18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. So don't you forget. Those believers of you that have been converted, transformed, you're not to live a life of idleness. You see, once you became reborn, you were called to have an active part with Jesus in taking over the kingdoms of this world. That does not mean people, brothers and sisters. Because when you, God is going to talk to you more about this. I want him to talk to you. Isaiah 27:12-13. Look it up. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. What is God saying? Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her. Come out the world. Be not partakers of the world's sins. Then you won't receive the world's plagues. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. The Bible says, that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. brothers and sisters, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Do it. And be blessed. And be blessed. If there's anybody on this line this morning, and I have caused, and I have harmed you or hurt you in any kind of way, I want you to forgive me in any way. But understand this. Your future has already been predetermined by God. So if I hurt you or cause you offense, forgive me this morning. But understand something. I'm still going to do whatever God told me to do. Prayerfully, I won't hurt anybody in the process. It's not my intention. But if I have, I'm big enough to ask you to forgive me. But I got a made up mind. I know what bondage feels like. I will not be brought into bondage by anybody. Nope. Been there, done that. Don't like it. So the first person that I got to stay straight with is God. And I'm going to do that. Ain't nobody done nothing to me. My desire is to please God all the way, all the way. And sometimes you cannot please man and satisfy the requirements that God has on you. It's a great day today. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. It's going to be a great day the next day. Ask God. He will show you what you need to be seen. And then when he shows you, deal with it. Deal with it when he shows it to you. Whew. Oh, Jesus. You see, when you ask him to come see about you, he will. Come see about me, Jesus. Come see about me. Come see about me.
Lord, I'm down in this mean old world. I need you.
Come on,
come on and see. I'm down here, Lord, and I'm all by myself.
Come on
and see. You're my friend to the end, and you never let me down.
Come on
and see. Cause I'm down.
Jesus came to see about me.